Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas, online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Needed someone to understand my ups and downs. There you
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He joins me now. He's on X at Jeff underscore Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm good, you?
I'm doing well. You ready for the play-in tonight? Excited for it?
You know, sadly, they're not relying on me at all. You know, even the old-ass Lakers don't need me. But yes, I am excited for it, and I'm going to be rooting for the Lakers and the Kings.
You're rooting for the Lakers, and what? Why? So they can play the Nuggets in the first round?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
okay.
and also, I don't really like New Orleans. You know.
Okay.
I don't really
All right.
Like New Orleans feels like sort of they shouldn't pass the Grizzlies. You know, we shouldn't have New Orleans ahead of the Grizzlies in the pecking order, right? And so I don't need New Orleans to be doing great things.
Well, but shouldn't the L.A. Lakers hate surpass the New Orleans hate? Shouldn't it?
Yeah, but so who do you hate more? If the Lakers and Warriors are playing, who are you rooting against?
I'm rooting against the Warriors in that particular case.
Yeah, me too.
But it's just like, yeah, I mean, it's the better of two evils. It's like voting for president. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't care.
It's an interesting question because it really is fascinating what will happen. I mean, we are getting to this end of this era in the NBA. And I know there's always someone who emerges, right? There is. I believe that. But it is sort of something else to see, you know, here we are at the end of the, coming to the end of the Steph LeBron era. And, you know, where things go from here. It'll be interesting. And I don't really, here's the truth. Right now, I don't really love watching LeBron play.
Really? Okay.
I like watching Steph play still.
Yeah.
You know, he's just fun to watch. Except for the fact that I hate them. But otherwise, he's fun to watch. But LeBron, is LeBron fun to watch? He's a marvel, right? He's a marvel that he can do that at that age. But anyway,
I enjoy watching LeBron play. I don't know if I like watching the Lakers play, though. They led the league in free throws by like a long shot.
Right.
They're not fun to watch in that regard. They do get a lot of free throws, and every game's played at the free throw line.
It's funny though. I didn't come away normally when the team your team is beaten by a team. You know, why do you hate holding the Golden State in part? It's because why do the Grizzlies fans once hate the Clippers? It's because you have series against them, right? That deepens their emotion, deepens the hate. I didn't actually come away from the Grizzlies-Lakers series last year feeling any more disgust towards the Lakers because maybe because most of my disgust was pointed at the Grizzlies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it didn't feel like the did the Lakers do anything that was particularly egregious?
No.
In their series against
Dylan Dallas, Brooks though? Got egregious.
It was just Dylan Brooks was egregious. Yeah, the Lakers are the reasonable ones. So, but anyway, it's fun. It's a fun night. I'm glad we have it.
Hey, speaking of Clippers versus Grizzlies series, Blake Griffin retired today. How do you feel about that?
It is interesting how, I mean, Blake Griffin was there at the very beginning of the Hashim Thabeet era. I was at the Wild Wings, Buffalo Wild Wings there at Highland and Poplar, where the Grizzlies had their draft party.
No longer there.
For the lottery. No longer there. For the lottery. And the first pick in that draft would have been Blake Griffin. And the Grizzlies were the worst team in the league. And so they had the best odds at the first pick. And instead they slide down to number two. They get Hashim Thabeet. But it all worked out fine. Because Blake Griffin was picked by the Clippers, they then needed to get rid of Zach Randolph. They didn't have any need to have Zach Randolph when, you're adding Blake Griffin. You don't need Zach Randolph on that team. That's really the inception of the Zebo Blake Griffin rivalry.
Yeah.
Is Zebo was discarded in favor of Blake Griffin. And then for a while, Blake Griffin was awesome. You know, it is interesting. His game wouldn't particularly translate now, really. You wouldn't, not a three-point shooter.
He grew that later on in his career, but when he sort of lost the athleticism.
Yeah, I mean, he came over as whatever. The guy jumping over, what was it, Kias, Volkswagens? What was he jumping over?
It was a Kia. The front end of a Kia, though. Yeah. I still feel a way about that.
Yeah, I can see that. He was the, who did we hate more? Did we hate Blake Griffin more or Chris Paul more?
Chris Paul, I'd say, right?
I think it was probably Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I think it was probably Chris Paul, but close. I think you'd get some Memphis fans on either side of that.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I want to ask you this. Did you – the WNBA draft, I think, had some really good ratings. Let's see here. Connor sent it to me. 2.446 million viewers for the WNBA draft last night. That's nice to see. I do want to point out one thing, though, and I am going to talk about it here in a little bit as we get into the Blitz later in the show. The OutKick nonsense, them writing up articles about how they were denied access to the WNBA draft because they just want to ask about trans women. They want to ask Caitlin Clark and Kath Engelbert about trans women at the pressers playing in women's sports. It's just ridiculous. They're trying to play a martyr in this particular situation. They're embarrassment. But I will say this. I wish they had shame, but they don't seem to have any of it.
Oh, no. OutKick has never had any.
Zero shame.
And I'm sure let's be honest. OutKick loves the fact that they were denied a credential because it enables them to scream about how, people who are asking courageous, hard questions are being denied. It enables them to play. It's not just the martyr. It's, the aggrieved standing up for real Americans, asking the hard questions, et cetera. And the truth of the matter is that OutKick, the reporter from OutKick, in advance of the national championship game, asked
Dawn Staley. Yep.
About whether transgender women should be allowed to play, in women's basketball games. And honestly, that is a perfectly reasonable, complicated topic that one can discuss. And various people can have various... opinions on it, and I think and a lot of those opinions are legitimate on both sides. I think it's a very complicated issue.
Sure.
And I don't mind it being addressed seriously. That was not an issue that has any relevance to the national championship game.
No.
Zero. And so the reason you're asking it in that forum is to basically say, look at me, and to generate clicks. And to say you're the aggrieved
media. To make yourself the story. To make yourself the story, which is like rule one, not to do.
It is to make yourself the story. There was not a transgender woman playing in that game. There was not a transgender woman being drafted last night. It's, and honestly, it is, whatever you think of the issues about transgender athletes, in terms of problems and challenges facing America, not in the top 1,000, right?
Not even close.
Is there any, like, she's taking Memphis. Memphis might have strong feelings about it, right? Has there ever been an athlete in Memphis, a transgender athlete, trying to compete in a, not that I've heard of, right? So it's really not an actual problem, right?
Yeah.
It's just not a problem. It is something in the end, like, I think there are real questions about, you know, there are scientists who have grappled with, you know, at what point do you have to start getting the therapy such that you didn't get an advantage as a man through the hormone? Like, this is a science that I do not know and I don't understand, but that's out there and people can dig into it. But it has nothing to do with what happened last night or anything else. It's just a media outlet that wants to fancy itself as the brave, courageous media outlet that's standing up to the libs, as if the libs are the WNBA. You know, like, come on, man. It's just, they're just playing basketball. You know,
yeah.
It's absurd, but they're getting what they want in that they're able to scream about being denied or this and that. And so there you have it, but it is a serious issue. It's not that important relative to so many other challenges that we're faced in America, but like, it's a complicated issue and it's an issue worthy of discussion, but not one that needs to be addressed on draft night.
Yeah, so, I don't need Caitlin Clark. I don't care about, like, even Dawn Staley. I thought she answered it with a lot of class, right? I thought, because she is a very classy person. I don't really care about, I don't need her opinion on it.
Yeah.
That's not who you should be asking.
I honestly think it's totally appropriate to say, listen, that's a complicated topic, and let's talk about it another time, and it's nothing to do with the game playing being played tomorrow. That's,
yeah.
You know, probably, and look, that's what the Iowa coach said, and I think that's correct. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I mean, they could have given him access to. I mean, I do believe in giving, you know, people media credentials and not denying them based on the questions they're going to ask. So, but I think the WNBA could have handled it. I think they would have been fully capable of handling the questions by saying, "I'm not, you know, it's not anything we're going to talk about tonight."
Yeah.
So that would have been fine too, but. But the fact is that OutKick is just.
But also, I don't mind them. I don't mind them denying access. This is supposed to be a monumental day in the WNBA's history, where you're getting more eyes on the WNBA draft than you ever have. I bet there's a lot of people that it was the first time they knew that the WNBA draft was going on at that moment. I don't mind them in that particular situation saying, "No, to hell with you. Don't show up. You're not allowed to show up." I don't have any problem with that. It's just we ask athletes, and I know we do the more than an athlete thing, and there's athletes that delve into politics and have their opinions on things, but sometimes we just ask them just ridiculous questions that they have no business having their opinion put out there consistently. I remember the LeBron China thing. Like, it's just like there are people with better opinions on that than LeBron James. There are people with better opinions on that than Caitlin Clark.
I do struggle, though, with, and again, I don't know, I haven't thought about what I think, but let's say, for example, so the Chicago Blackhawks were in a very famously in a scandal where one of their coaches or video coordinators or something was abusing one of their players, sexually abusing one of their players, right? And so if you, and weren't taking questions about this, right? And the reporters who wanted to ask about it said, you know what, screw this, we're going to the draft. They're going to be at the draft, they're going to have to answer our question. Do I want them? And they said, listen, we're going to deny them credentials because they're not asking. I do think you're getting into a sticky, and because I'm sympathetic to those questions,
sure,
as opposed to, like, you get to pick and choose, I am very wary of denying credentials based on the questions they're going to be asked. Just general, as a general matter, because I think then you get to pick and choose, like, which things do you think are serious, which things do you not think are serious, which things do you, I really think people have the maturity to be able to turn down, you know, say no comment. It's actually one reason why I always thought it was appropriate. I don't know how you felt about it as a college athlete,
I think more access is better for college athletes because I have respect for college athletes. I think most have brains and are thoughtful and can answer questions, whereas it feels like more and more universities shield college athletes from actual open, full discourse with reporters because they're worried about what they might say, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have much less access than you used to have. This is true. When I first started covering the Memphis football team, after games, we would go into the locker room, and the locker room was not the expansive locker room they have now. And we would go into the locker room, and we could talk to anyone we wanted.
Yeah.
And what was the damage of that, right? I don't actually think there was any damage. Like that's how a pro locker room works. You know, you can go in and you can, and then the players can say, no, I don't want to talk. And that's fine. And I actually have enough respect for athletes that they can say, this is something I want to talk about. This is something I don't want to talk about. Whatever. So I don't know. I really don't know how I feel about him denying the credential, but I do know that I feel that OutKick is just interested in outrage.
Yes, 100%. Now, talking with Jeff Calkins, last thing for you, Jeff. Looks like Giannis will be out to start the Pacers series. Feels like the Bucks are going to get got real early, and I don't have much hope in what they're going to be able to accomplish. If Giannis Antetokounmpo's not on the floor, this could be very bad. And then I wonder what happens this offseason, and I guess we could talk about that as well, but... If this was a complete failure where you fired a coach midseason and Giannis is not in there and they end up losing to the Pacers in the first round, this could put that franchise in a weird free fall.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. They are...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Since Doc was hired, they're sub 500. They went 1-4 against the Pacers this year, even with Giannis. And I think they are in net rating since Doc was hired 18th in the league. Now, having said that, you know, Giannis is under contract, and
sure.
Doc is under contract. I suspect they'll take a deep breath and try to run it back, you know? Let's see if we can do this and do it better this time. It certainly feels like this is one where the Bucks... Now, the Bucks still, I think, Las Vegas still favors the Bucks in the series.
Sure.
And so you never know, but, you know, Pacers aren't particularly known for guarding, but it will be a fascinating, I agree, it'll be a fascinating offseason. I just don't know how much room there is for them to
blow up.
To blow up what they have, right?
Yeah. I mean, if it's an early first or second round exit, what do you think? What about Doc? That's the real question for me.
Can you get rid of Doc when you just hire Doc?
I mean, they got rid of Adrian Griffin without thinking twice, and he was 31 and 13.
They very clearly did not think he was the right guy, and among other things, the players didn't think he was the right guy. you know. And so, but I don't think firing one coach immediately, you know, with a quick trigger makes it easier to fire the next coach with a trigger. I think it makes it harder.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
I
like,
agree.
How, what are you going to turn over coaches every 6 months? So, I'll say with this, it was very interesting to hear the Grizzlies yesterday speak so highly, Jaron among them, about Taylor Jenkins. You know, that was interesting, didn't you think?
Not really, to me. Can I be honest? No? Not really to me. I've been seeing this all year, and it's funny to see, like, Grizz Twitter versus the national media opinion of Taylor Jenkins and what he did this year. Like, there's most national media members will say 27 wins, it's a damn...
Yeah.
I mean, it was impossible to get 27 wins this year.
Well, yeah, but Grizz, it certainly stopped about halfway through the season. Once he had no players to deal with, I don't think he really got any meaningful criticism anymore. Right, once he had no players to deal with. But halfway through the season, he was being roundly criticized. Not by me, but he was being roundly criticized. I think he did a very good job. I think he has done a good job. And is there pressure on him? Yes, in the same way that there's pressure on all the Grizzlies, I think, coming back next year.
Well, there's pressure on any coach who has a good roster. You know, like that's the pressure he's dealing with.
Right, I agree with that.
But when you miss however many, what was it, 500 or 200 games, whatever the hell it was this year, it's just I never understood the massive criticism that came from sort of within the Grizzlies' Twitterverse, because no one else really had that opinion. It felt like national.
I agree.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Jeff, I'll leave you to it. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, kid.
That is Jeff Calkins, columnist of the Daily Memphian, or was Jeff Calkins, columnist of the Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show from 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's on X at Jeff_Calkins. Now, Oxbow, family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Make sure you get over to 964 June Road, off Poplar, on June Road, behind the Amoco Station. They have a bunch of things that you'll love. It's a great place to go get a gift for anybody. They have the greatest clothing and the best brands, Gentile, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Main. They have great vintage tees that you can take advantage of, but they have your favorite teams, Tigers, Grizzlies, Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, you name it, they have it. If you're a big John Calipari fan and you want to go check out some of the Arkansas gear, if you're a Razorback fan, go get over to 964 June Road, off Poplar, on June Road, behind the Amoco Station. But they also have sports memorabilia. They have vintage vinyl. They have hunting and outdoor essentials for you adventurous souls out there. So make sure you get over to that two-story storefront. You're going to love what you see. Kind and courteous staff as well. But if you don't want to get over to the store, you can go online. ShopOxbow.com is where you can find all of their stuff, all of their different things online. ShopOxbow.com. And when you go to... check out, shopping cart's full, there's going to be a spot to put in a promo code. In that promo code slot, put in The Gabe Show, all caps, no spaces, The Gabe Show, and you'll get 20% off your online order at shopoxbow.com. But whether you're going online or to 964 June Road, remember to shop local, shop Oxbow. We have more of The Gabe Kuhn Show coming up next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You're about to feel the chronicles of a bionicle, lyrically spitting, dismissing. I'm on a mission, it's just hitting. Now it's written, it's kidding, hitting with mittens.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and we have been talking about the Tiger basketball transfer portal for quite a while at this point. Since the season ended, they've already landed P.J. Haggerty, Dane Danger, and Colby Rogers. Colby is the most recent one, 16 points per game, 40% three-point shooter from Wichita State. But there's a couple of guys out there that are worth mentioning, and it honestly highlights a change in philosophy or a different thought process headed into this season. What is one thing that Penny Hardaway talks about outside of defense and three-point sort of specialist? What is another thing he talks about? He's always talked about wanting to play for the city, wanting to bring in some guys from Memphis, guys that will latch on and want to play for Memphis. There's two guys in particular that he's looking at that have ties to the city of Memphis, and I think it's a welcome sight. Sam Houston State transfer Devon Barnes played for Collierville his senior year. I already mentioned him. 13.5 points per game, 3.5 rebounds per game on 39% shooting from three, about four attempts per game. But another guy he's looking at is a guy out of Southwind. They've reached out to Morehead State transfer guard Mark Freeman. He was the 2022-23 OVC Ohio Valley Conference Player of the Year. He averaged 15 points per game, 3 assists per game, and 1.2 steals. Shot 36% from 3 on over 5 attempts per game. He did not play last season after winning OVC Player of the Year, but he is out of Southwind. And this is a interesting sight to see Penny really trying to latch on to what he's been saying and trying to get guys that understand the city of Memphis, that have been from the city of Memphis, and bring them back to campus. I think most of that sort of left with Malcolm Dandridge now gone. When he first got here, it's a bunch of Memphis East guys, brought in Tyler Harris, did some things like that. Obviously, Tyler Harris out of Cordova. But since then, it's definitely slowed down and it's tampered down. And that could be a sort of obvious, we could point to the talent coming out of the city of Memphis. We could definitely point to that. There were guys along the way, the Cam Jones of the world that he definitely missed out on and didn't really recruit at the highest of levels, Matthew Morrell, guys like that. But it seems like a lot of those guys, a lot of the talent in Memphis over the years has dissipated. He doesn't really have a pipeline to those guys like he had when he first came out of Memphis East. Now he's trying to go back and find guys that will play for the city. Now, I will say this. I agree with this thought process, but I'll say this. I don't think you need to have a bunch of guys from Memphis on this team. Having a little bit of the hometown pipeline helps. But I just want to remind people of this one fact that is just so apparent in my mind. There's two guys that I look at more than any other in the Penny Hardaway era where the fan base latched on to them, loved them, still loves them, keeps up with them to this day. That was 2 years ago with Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams. And I think most people would say they played for the city. They understood the city. The city loved them back. They loved on the city. City loved them back. Both of those guys are from Texas. Both of those guys are from Texas. What it comes down to, more than recruiting guys from the city of Memphis to love on the city of Memphis, to understand the culture and everything else, I think what it comes down to is finding high character guys that will buy into your culture and your fit and your program. So I appreciate the effort here. I don't necessarily think it's necessary, though. I don't think that it is a necessary thing to go find guys from Memphis to play for Memphis. We have escaped the days of regional recruiting, of a pipeline into Memphis. You do national recruiting now. You see Penny all over the place with where he gets guys from. East Coast, West Coast, doesn't matter. So as much as I appreciate this, I don't find it to be the most necessary step to getting guys to buy into this program. If you're going to find guys to buy into this program, find high character guys that you trust, like Kendrick Davis, like DeAndre Williams.
Yeah, I think it's always a good thing if you can have a Memphis kid on the Memphis Tigers roster. I do think that there are some benefits to it that we have seen in the past, but at the end of the day, I don't think it's the end-all be-all in whether or not a kid's going to buy into the team, the program, and the city. You know, we can even go back and look at the 07, 08, team.
Right.
They had two Memphis kids on it, and I do think that it's important to have those guys, but they weren't the best players.
The best players were national recruits.
Right. You know, Andre Allen was great to have on that team. Pierre Niles was great to have on that team. But at the end of the day, you know, Joey Dorsey, Robert Dozier, Willie Kemp, Sean Taggart, you know, Derrick Rose, you know,
those
Antonio
were the best
Anderson,
players.
Keep going. They weren't from Memphis. So I think that you can still build a very successful program and have guys that you can build around for more than one season without them necessarily being from Memphis. That being said, I would like to see Penny get involved on some higher Memphis prospects when they are there. You definitely want him to do his due diligence there, and it has felt like at least maybe the past few seasons that may not have been happening as much. But it does seem like this time around, the transfer portal, he's at least trying to see if he can meld a few Memphis guys with what he's looking for. But at the end of the day, I agree with you. It's high character guys that you're looking for that will buy into the team, the program, and the city just because that's who they are. Not necessarily it's because they have a tie to the city of Memphis already.
Now, the other approach that I think people are taking maybe a little exception to is these two guys I mentioned, yeah, they're from Memphis, but one's from Morehead State, one is from Sam Houston State. Not very high-level basketball programs. And you got Wichita State already committed, you have Tulsa already committed, P.J. Haggerty and Colby Rogers. There is a thought process out there. He's not really getting a bunch of guys from these winning programs. And when they get here, I think you may find an issue with, okay, they haven't done a whole lot of winning. Have they learned how to win? Do they understand how to win? But I will. The only thing I'll say about that is I think I'll hesitate with that type of conversation because last year, let's think about where he got these guys from. Javon Quinterly won a lot at Alabama. Jordan Brown did some winning when he was at Arizona and at Louisiana. Like, I don't necessarily think it's the end-all, be-all conversation. They're from losing programs, from not so good programs, so they can't be good at Memphis. I don't think that's how that works. I think that also there is sort of a something you could draw about coming from a lower division, moving up a step to Memphis, where they want to prove themselves, where they want to get over the top and show that they are able to play at that level. There may be a bigger hunger if you're coming from a smaller program, a not-so-winning program. So I think there's a double-edged sword to that whole thing. But I get where people are a little bit hesitant looking at some of the programs that Penny's pulling from at this particular moment.
Yeah, you know, Kendrick Davis also came from SMU.
Well,
you know,
but they were successful.
It's like I think context matters big time when you're talking about these transfer guys. Why are they leaving these programs? I mean, you got Dane Danger. He came from Illinois. That's a winning program.
But why was he leaving that program? Because he wasn't getting
playing. He wants more opportunity. I think most of these guys are leaving their programs because they want more opportunity, and Memphis allows that. They also get more eyeballs on them for potential NBA. Like, we can talk about Penny Hardaway's season successes, but he has had success in getting guys to the NBA, helping them elevate their own profile, so that makes sense why guys might want to come to the University of Memphis. And at the end of the day, you finish, what, fifth in this conference, so I'm not sure we can be, you know, punching down at some of these schools that we may be getting players from. It's because it's not like these are bad players who weren't affecting winning basketball. They just happened to be the best player on their team or the best one or two guys on those teams. You know, they just weren't surrounded with the talent as much. And to be quite honest, I mean, you know, Javon Quinterly came from Alabama. That's a winning program. Yeah. How'd that work out?
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to judge where they are coming from as much when you can look at tape, you can look at what they do, and you can listen to the pundits and the experts who knew what they're talking about. They're like, this is a solid player, high character, good defense, good 3-point shooting. I'm all fine with that.
Yes,
I don't really give a damn about the record.
How many, and here's the other question I want to ask to some people that have reservations about where these guys are coming from. How many winning programs and players on those winning programs want to hop out of that winning program when they have a great situation and they're scoring a lot of points and they're getting volume with their shots? Not a lot of guys do that. Most of those guys that are having success at larger programs in the Power Five, they stay at their spot. And if they're transferring out, they're going to an even higher spot. They'll go from a Rutgers to a Kansas if they're good enough.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know, if you're talking about that level of prospect, you're dealing with a lot more competition. You're dealing with Kansases and Kentuckys and Arkansas at this point with Cal. Most of the guys that will end up at Memphis from those super winning programs are the Dane Dangers of the world who just want more of an opportunity, and then you're sort of taking a flyer on them to see if they actually will work out when they get in a Memphis uniform. So I am a lot less concerned with the programs these guys are coming from, and I am more concerned with what do their statistics tell me about them, what do their metrics tell me about them, then we can go from there. I'm not worried if you get a guy from Morehead State and he fits in well. If he fits in well, he fits in well. Whether he came from Morehead State or Arizona or Kansas or Kentucky, I don't much care as long as the statistics and the type of guy he is fits into the scheme that Penny Hardaway and the staff's trying to run.
Absolutely. I think, you know, do they fit the scheme that Penny Hardaway wants to run? Do they match what the program needs to be? Are they defensive-minded players? Those are questions I'm going to ask way before I look at the record of the team that they are leaving. If it was an absolute disaster and they were, you know, chucking up 20 shots a game, yeah, we can maybe talk about it, but it doesn't appear that any of these guys are that type of player. They are playing within the system and they want more opportunity and they want a chance to win more basketball and play under a guy like Penny Hardaway. It makes sense to me why some of them are jumping over to Memphis.
David Jones came from St. John's and they had a fired coach because they didn't play well, right? They weren't a winning program. DeAndre Williams came from Evansville. That wasn't necessarily a winning program. So I just think that conversation's a little bit overrated. Now, I think on the back end we may learn more, but I as long as these guys have a role and they understand what's expected of them, I don't care if they were on a team that was 4-and-forever. If they won 4 games, if they won 0 games in the SEC, if you got a guy from Mizzou who was good enough to come over here, I wouldn't mind as long as he fit in well with the scheme they're trying to run. Just because they didn't win at another spot doesn't mean that they won't win when they come to Memphis, because you put together different teams, different styles, and everything may mesh for them. It may not have been their best situation in the first spot.
Right.
And it's a team game, ultimately. It's a team game. You have to have people around you who facilitate winning, and some of these guys didn't have that.
It just
PJ Haggerty didn't have that at Tulsa. Colby Rogers didn't have that at Wichita State. It's not a surprise why they weren't able to win at their last
time. You know, we've had conversations about they're not necessarily going after the shiny, flashy transfer portal guys this time around. And I kind of agree with that. So if we're going to go with that strategy, it's going to make sense that not all of them are going to come from major programs.
You know?
And like you said, a lot of players aren't leaving those programs. I do think that we see a little more of it this season because of the craziness that has been happening in the coaching carousel. So
but they're
I do
usually
think that it's having a bit of an impact.
And they already have an idea of where they're going.
Like, we've already seen a couple Kentucky guys. Like, there's no secret to where they're probably going. Like, they're probably going to be following Cal to Kentucky. I don't think it makes much sense to try to jump in.
Billy Richmond
on those guys
today.
Yeah, there's no chance he's coming to Memphis. I can tell you that right now. It's not happening.
He's going to Cal. And Cal, you know the thing is about Cal? He's got an open roster. He's got all open roster spots. He's fine. He's good to go. Speaking of which, Kentucky, with all of these decommits and everything else, have you seen their recruiting class, where they were?
Woo!
They are 78th, according to On3. They were never below, according to 247, and then On3, when On3 came about. Under John Calipari, their recruiting classes were never under third in the country. They're 70.
Are you for real?
They are
crazy.
They are 78th.
15 years of never being
70? But that's what I was trying to say. The difference between John Calipari and Mark Pope in the player getting department is so vast, just because John Calipari is one of one on the recruiting trail. I would venture, please, someone out there, tell me a better recruiter than John Calipari. I don't think you can. You can't find one. Especially
no,
in high school ranks and getting five stars and everything, like, you just cannot find
it. I think he's the best recruiter the game's ever seen.
Yes. And Mark Pope may get there, and I think winning will help facilitate that. But there's going to be a lot of people that are hesitant to jump on board at Kentucky with Mark Pope because of the expectation that's been created, and what they want to see what he does first before they jump on board. But 78th right now, and there's been some transfer portal movement. BYU commits to go to Kentucky, so I'm worried about it, because that's the one thing we need to know about Mark Pope is player getting, and it's not off to a great start. And obviously, things are stacked against them. Got the job a little further down the transfer portal. All these guys leaving. It's just going to be turmoil for a while, but hopefully he can stabilize that thing, and we'll see what happens. I'm rooting for the guy. I really am.
I don't know. It's Kentucky, so if he falls on his face, I'm not going to be too upset about it. But, you know, it's just they are kind of being set up right now to be BYU East, and I'm not quite sure if that's what Kentucky envisioned when they were like, we could do better than Cal and then Mark Pope.
There was a couple of people that made this point to me. Okay, BYU, bring all those players, go to Kentucky. Oh, well, you know, they were higher in most of the predictive metrics than Kentucky. BYU was substantially higher in the predictive metrics than Kentucky was last year. Yeah, okay. It's a different beast altogether.
What did you make of his comment about Reed Sheppard, too? Because I can't lie, it rubbed me the wrong way. I did not like it.
He was basically saying that we would love to have him back.
But praying for a kid who's going to go top five.
I hope that guy
puts it in his heart that he comes back. It's like, come on, man. You're asking this kid to turn down guaranteed $7.6 million.
I didn't like it.
Are you insane?
In all of the non-stories, there's been a lot of non-stories that have been created out of this entire coaching carousel. That's been the biggest one for me. It's like, how dumb
would it be? It would be one of the dumbest draft decisions
of all time. He's a top 5 to 7 easily, without question, going to be a top 7.
Never going to go. He's not going to go past 10. No way.
So the thought process would be stay a year at Kentucky, take a chance at injury or hurting your stock in a better draft next year.
Oh, and by the way, Cal's not there. It's going to be Mark Pope.
The whole conversation, beyond Mark Pope's comments, because he was just asked a question and he was throwing out whatever he wanted to say, and I don't doubt that he prays that Reed Sheppard will come back. That would make his team substantially better, and I don't really blame him for praying. But in the end of the day, I just don't know why this has been a topic of discussion in the grand scheme of things. It would be so unbelievably dumb by Reed Sheppard to go back for
another. Well, it completely goes against the player's best interest.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, your job as the Kentucky basketball coach is to make sure that your players are making the right decisions for them. and pressuring Reed Sheppard to come back.
I think his right now his main job is to get players and to win games. That's all he's thinking
about. But you also don't put pressure on a kid to come back when it's clear that he shouldn't.
Yeah.
I think that morally that's a bad thing to do.
Yeah. You should be looking out for your players, yeah.
But when it comes to the Memphis thing,
I think he's got a one track mind. Oh, Mark Pope at this moment.
Yeah. This thing could be, that comment last week that we read off where it's like, this is how you become Indiana.
Yeah, who knows? We'll see.
We will see.
All right, now, football transfer portal opened today. It will close on April 30th for the spring window. I have a couple of Memphis guys that got in. Diego Brumfield, he came over from Campbellsville. He's a D2 guy. He ended up starting last year for Memphis, and he led the Tigers in pass breakups. So he's into the transfer portal. My read on that situation is less about Diego not liking what's going on with the program and more about potential playing time. That's sort of what it seems like. They brought in a lot of guys. They really, the past 2 years in the transfer portal and even on the high school recruiting trail, they have gone out of their way to get a bunch of safeties and a bunch of corners, a bunch of DBs. And maybe there's a lot more competition for Diego there. And I'm not saying he's shying away from competition, but maybe he saw the writing on the wall. There's other guys that could potentially pass me up here. Maybe I should get out while I can. And I think that also there's another guy, Jay Ducker. Jay Ducker, we were very excited about him coming in 2 years ago from Northern Illinois, ran for 1,000 yards. I think more as he's more of a plotter, in between the tackles type guy, a power runner. He ends up getting in the transfer portal, and I think it's very clear. It's very clear why he got in the transfer portal. He's had sparing playing time, and that backfield is loaded right now with two guys in Sutton Smith and Mario Anderson Jr., who I have heard unbelievable things about in spring practice. And I honestly can't wait to see the reviews come Saturday when he actually hits the field in front of Tiger fans, because it's very clear why Jay Ducker got in. But we'll see. There could be some more guys along the way, and I would pay attention to this Sunday after their spring game. On the 21st, if there's going to be bigger name guys get in, that's when they will get in, right? And I think some will already do it. We saw Diego Brumfield and Jay Ducker. But after that spring game on the 20th, make sure you pay attention and lock into what that transfer portal looks like for the Memphis Tigers. Now, let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we need to talk about Jontay Porter. We have a Jontay Porter update in the small talk today right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m., except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, Jontay Porter, we have an update in this whole thing. If you'll remember, Jontay Porter, who's the brother of Michael Porter Jr. with the Nuggets, he plays for the Raptors, and he was currently on leave with an investigation into prop bet irregularities. It looks like there was a day on January 26th in a game against the Clippers where bettors profited heavily on Jontay Porter's unders, including some of the wagers being up to five figures. Now, the biggest bet was under a half three-pointer. DraftKings reported that under on Porter's three-pointers was the most profitable wager that day, and he attempted 0 3-pointers, finished the game with 0 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist, and he played for just 4 minutes. He ended up bowing out because of an eye injury. Now, what we've learned today is that he did owned and operated a VIP account on FanDuel in Colorado that wagered millions of dollars in total from 2021 to 2023. He had about 1,000 wagers placed on that account. One source said he was firing all the time and just throwing out bets. Now, none of those bets were on the NBA or college basketball, none on basketball in general. But there is a story by the Action Network that I think is very, very interesting. He was, during that time, while he was kicking around the G League, he operated a Discord account for $50 a month for people to go in, and he would give out cryptocurrency pips or like give ideas on cryptocurrency investments, and he'd also put bets out there for them to follow on his Discord. So I would imagine the next step in this is finding what was said in that Discord that potentially could have led to this. If there's nothing in there, he will be free. But we know that Adam Silver has already said he's been accused of a cardinal sin, and this could lead to him being disbanded from the league. So pay attention to what happens with Jontay Porter here relatively soon. Now, Community Fizbo, there's more than one way to sell your house. You can go to the realtor and have them handle everything, or you could do the FSBO process, the next gen FSBO process with Community FSBO. FSBO is FSBO. It stands for For Sale by Owner. They give you the tools to make yourself your own boss when it comes to selling your home. Three separate packages that let you take advantage of the next gen FSBO process. You pick your package, they handle everything from their professional photography, interactive 3D walkthrough, floor plans, room measurements, and of course the listing. And the listing's where you're going to save a lot of money. Then you will field offers, get your contract, you're on your way. And the money savings are unreal. Using a 2,000 square foot home selling for $350,000 at a 3% realtor listing fee of $10,500, you can save up to $9,800 in that particular situation. And if you have more value in your home, you could save even more on that listing fee. So if you're looking to sell your home, look into Community FSBO. It's an unreal next-gen process that you are sure to latch onto. Check them out at CommunityFSBO.com. That's CommunityFSBO.com. Or call them at 901-660-FSBO. That's 901-660-3726. Hour three is on the way, and we lead it off, as we do every single Tuesday, with my man Christian Fowler. He's next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.